hear more about that in the next few weeks. This morning, let's take our Bibles and turn to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. 2 Samuel, chapter number 23. Samuel chapter number 23, we'll begin reading in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Now these be the last words of David, the son of Jesse, said, the son of man who was raised up on high, the anointed of God of Jacob, and the sweet psalmist of Israel. Verse 2, and the Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and the word was in my tongue." Verse number 8, the Bible says, "These be the names of the mighty men of whom David had. The Tachmite that sat in the east, the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Ezrahite. He lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo the Ammonite, one of the three mighty men with David, when he defiled the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. He arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary and his hand clave to his sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah, the son of Agi the Harai, and the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where the piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. And he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines. And the Lord wrought a great victory. And 3 of the 30 chief went down and came to David in the harvest time unto a cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines pitched in the valley of Ramah." Verse 14, "And David was in the hold, and the garrison of the Philistines was in the Bethlehem. And David longed and said, Oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. And the 3 mighty men brake through the host of the Philistines and drew out water of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And he said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore he would not drink it. These things did these 3 mighty men." Father, this morning we thank you for the opportunity to come to the house of God, to read your precious word, and Father, to try to honor our pastor. We thank you, Father, that we're able to call upon your name, the great and mighty God. I pray this morning that we would get our minds upon the things of the Word of God, that, Father, that you would help us this morning, you would stir our hearts, you would stir our minds, and Lord, that you would manifest yourself in our presence. Lord, help us this morning. Forgive us of our trespasses and our sins. And God, let us see you high and lifted up, and we'll thank you and praise you for it. Bless the reading of your Word. We ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 2 Samuel, we find in verse number 15, the 23rd chapter, the Bible says that David longed. David was hidden in the cave of Adullam. He was taking refuge in this cage. He was hiding for his life, surrounded by a great host, surrounded by a great army. And the Bible says that David had a longing. I want to preach on that thought this morning. What are you longing for? In these verses we just read of chapter 23, we find there's some men, these great men, they were warriors, they were fighters, they were called David's mighty men. They were soldiers, commandos, that were distinguished, that were set apart in battle. We find, I believe, they were men like you and I. These men may not have had great physical traits. They may not have had great physical abilities. These mighty men that are mentioned may not have had great physical strength. But I believe it was what was on the inside of these mighty men that set them apart. In studying the Word of God in here in the book of 2 Samuel and in the book of 1 Chronicles, we find these mighty men all had one thing in common. We notice as you read in 1 Chronicles and in 2 Samuel, these mighty men, they were always surrounded themselves by the man of God. They were gathered around David. We'll find, and you read, they were always hanging out. They were always fellowshipping. They were always leaning on and learning from David. In 1 Chronicles, the Bible tells us they strengthened themselves with David. There's something about David. There's something about being around David, this man of God, that his influence strengthened them. There was something about them getting their fortitude, their backbone, this gumption in being around the man of God. Let me say this morning, if we want to strengthen ourselves, if we want to please God, if we want to find favor with God, one way is to please and find favor with the man of God. We find these men. They were great, mighty men. They were proven in battle. We find there's 37 of David's mighty men, skilled men. They were proven. They were great warriors in God's armies. I noticed, though, in reading about these mighty men, all these mighty men were not Israelites. As we read, we find Uriah. Uriah, that one that had the beautiful wife, Bathsheba, he was a mighty man, and he was a Hittite. We read of Zelek. Zelek was an Ammonite. We read of Ithmah. His name, he was a Moabite. I think what God is telling us to be a great mighty man, to be a great warrior in the Lord's army, to be one that God favors, one that God uses, one that God places his hand upon. It doesn't matter our background, our past sins. It doesn't matter our social status, our talents, or abilities. The only requirement and the only prerequisite to be a great mighty man of God is to be saved, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We find in verse number one, the Bible says, "Now these be the last words of David." Here it is. David, the son of Jesse. We know Jesse was a humble farmer. We know this title, it reminds us and brings our mind back to David's humble and lowly beginning. Then it says, a man who was raised up on high. David, this lowly, humble man, he allowed God to touch him. He allowed God to use him. He allowed God to raise him up. I believe David was living James 4:10, where the Bible says, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord and he shall lift you up. He's anointed by God. The Bible says in verse 1, the anointed of God of Jacob. David, he was not anointed by man. He did not anoint himself, he was not anointed by another. But we find he's anointed by God. It was God that equipped David. It was God that empowered David, and it was God that enabled David. And David knew this. David never failed to give God the honor and the praise and the glory for what God had did in his life. That's what we're trying to do this morning. We're trying to honor the Word of God, and in doing so, lifting up Jesus Christ. And I know our pastor doesn't like it. I know he don't want the attention. He don't want the praise or the accolades. But we're just trying to fulfill the Romans 13, what Randy already wrote. Render there unto all their dues. Tribute to where tribute's due. Custom to whom custom. And honor to whom honor is due. Proverbs 27:2 says, let another man praise thee, not thy own mouth, a stranger, and not thy own lips. I thank God for these mighty men that God uses, great warriors, soldiers of the cross. I thank God for David, a man of God after God's own heart, one that ruleth and reigneth over Israel well. And I thank God this morning for our pastor, the man of God, the under shepherd, for his faithful service for 28 years. David's mighty men in God's army. But I see in this text, God mandated authority for David. Notice this mandated authority in verse number 8. These be the names of the mighty men, here it is, whom David had. The Bible says David had these mighty men. He had these mighty men not to fulfill his wishes, not to fulfill his desires, or not to fulfill his wants. But David had these mighty men to accomplish and fulfill God's purpose and plan. David, I don't think he didn't own these men. David did not rule over these men with an iron fist or with dictator authority. But God gave David authority over these men. They were subject to David's authority. They were led and used by David. It's a mandated authority that God had gave David. That God gave David authority. A mandated authority over these men. We find that principle true throughout the Word of God. I began to think about the mandates of authority in God's Word. God gave parents authority over their children. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Colossians 3:20, children, obey your parents in all things, for it is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Young people, this morning, if you want to be right, the word means to be righteous. It means to be upright. It means to be virtuous. If you want to please the Lord, meaning to be accepted and approved by God, obey your parents. Ephesians tells us the children to obey your parents. Colossians says, children, obey your parents. Exodus, the fifth commandment, says, honor thy father and thy mother. I noticed that in these mandated authorities that God gave, he doesn't put an age limit when it stops. I don't see anywhere where it stops when he reached the age of 18. I don't see where it stops when he reached the age of 21. I'm 45 years old, and I'm still mandated. I'm still accountable. I'm still expected to render and do and give the authority to my parents. It's a mandated authority. We live in a messed up society, a society that's full of problems, a society we see that has a disdain for our nation, a society that has a disrespect for our parents and the older generation, a society that has disregard of all authority. And it's bad, and it seems like it's only getting worse. But that should actually motivate and cause great joy in our lives. You say, what do you mean, preacher? Paul wrote to Timothy. He was facing this same thing, and he wrote to encourage Timothy, and it should encourage us this morning. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:1. He says, know this. Paul's saying, Timothy, know this, understand, grasp a hold, comprehend this, know this, that in the last days, right before Jesus Christ comes, right before Jesus Christ calls his church home and raptures us to be with him, in the last days, perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boastful, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful and unholy. What he was telling Timothy, don't look at those perilous times. Don't look at the proud and the unthankful and the disobedient to parents and the boasters. But Timothy, you look for that blessed hope, that soon recoming of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. It's a mandated authority. God gave David authority over these men. God gives parents authority over their children. How about God gives government authority over nations? In Genesis, we find God establishes the government. We find this government is supposed to rule over the nations well. It's been ordained by God. It's been given by God. It's been approved by God. The Bible says, let every soul be subject to higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained by God. God's a mandated authority. He's given authority of government over nations. And this morning, whether we like it or not, we're under the authority of our government. But let me say, moreover, we're one nation under God. The government, it's not our God. The government is not the savior of this land. The government, although they may think they are not God. But we are subject to our government. We may not like the person in office. We may not like the policies, or we may not like the individuals, but we're still subject to government. The same was true in Jesus' day. The Jewish nation, they had a disdain, a hatred for the Roman Empire. Pharisees and Herodians, they came to Jesus trying to tempt him, trying to catch him. They said, "Master, you regard no man, but teach us the way of God. Is it lawful to give tribute to Caesar? Shall we give or shall we not give?" And Jesus knew their hearts. He said, "Why tempest ye me?" He said, "Bring me a penny, and whose image and superscription is on it?" And they said, "Caesar's." Jesus said, "Well, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God." Although I believe the government in many ways has gotten too big and overstepped their bounds, God has given a government authority over nations. He's given parents authority over children. He's given David authority over men. How about this one? God's gave pastors authority over the local church. It's called pastoral authority. He didn't give a church a dictator. He didn't give the church a tyrant. He didn't give the church a totalitarian, but he gave the church a pastor, a under-shepherd, a preacher to lead the flock beside the still waters. I believe in pastoral authority. Although I believe in a pastoral authority, we still believe in the priesthood of the believer. Every one of us this morning, if you're saved and born again by Jesus Christ, if you've been washed in the precious blood of the Lamb, you have direct access to the throne of God. The Bible tells us, "Come boldly to the throne of grace, and there you may obtain help and find mercy in the time of help, in the time of need." Because of Calvary, that veil was rent. Because of Calvary, we can enter into the Holy of Holies. We have one mediator this morning between men and God, and that is the man, Jesus Christ. But we're not so spiritual that we still don't need a pastor. It's God's gift. It's God's gift to the local church. And let me say this morning. A church will never be right until their pastor's right with God. But a congregation will never be right until they're right with their pastor. And I thank God, let me say, and I thank God for Miss Sandra as well, for all they've done for us. It's a mandated authority. God had David had authority over these mighty men. But we're preaching on the thought. What is it you are longing for? I see number two, not only this mandated authority, but I see these mighty men's attitude. All these mighty men, I think they had something in common. It was a attitude. And I think we see they always expected the supernatural. They expected more in their life than the status quo. They expected more than just the standard. They expected a supernatural. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "The same was Adino the Esnite. He lift up his spear against 800 whom he slew at one time." Hear this mighty man. He goes to battle against the enemies of God. He lifts up his spear, his sword, and he kills. He slays 800 men at one time. That's a mighty man. That's a mighty man that's expecting the supernatural. In verse 11, we read a Shammah. We find when everyone else is fleeing, when everyone else is running for their lives, when everyone else is fearing, the Bible says that Shammah, he stands in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the world, Lord wrought a great victory. When everyone else had tucked tail, when everyone else had fled from the face of the enemy, when everyone else said it's not worth it, Shammah stood his ground and expected the supernatural. We read of Eleazar. Eleazar in verse number 9 and 10. He goes out to fight the enemies of God. And he fought and he fought and he fought. And the Bible says until his hand was weary. They were not satisfied with the status quo, with the norm. You know, this morning, I believe many of us, myself included, we're satisfied with the status quo. We're satisfied with just the norm. We say that, well, our church is doing better than a church down the street. We tell ourselves, well, I'm doing better than most other Christians, or I'm doing better than most of the members of my church. But these mighty men, they expected God to show up in their life. They came to battle with an anticipation. I wonder, they began to face the enemy, and they had that anticipation of, when is God going to come? When is God going to deliver? When's God going to give victory? These mighty men, they expected the supernatural. I believe if they walked in this morning, they would say something like, I wonder what God's going to do in church this morning. I wonder when God's going to show up in the preaching hour. I wonder when God's going to do what he's going to do in the singing. I wonder what God's going to do in the Sunday school hour. I wonder what God's going to do in my life. They expected the supernatural, and because of this, let me say, they experienced success. These battles, they were hard. They were never ending. The enemies of God was always there. You say, preacher, this morning, I'm facing some battles in my life. I'm facing some hardships in my life. It seems like I'm being defeated. Some physical, some spiritual battles that I've never faced before. And it seems like I'm being defeated. All we can do is pray for you. But listen to Paul. Paul said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? For thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay. Paul said, oh no. He said, nay. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. I guess what I'm trying to say is, what boundless love, what marvelous grace. There on the cross, he took my place. For my sins, he bore the shame. Freely for me, he took the blame. Victory was won at Calvary. Victory that gave me liberty. Victory now that I can live eternally, because victory was won at Calvary. We can expect the supernatural. We can experience success as these mighty men. One reason only. Because Jesus Christ won victory at Calvary. These mighty men, they expected the supernatural. They experienced success. They experienced victory because this mandated authority. We find these mighty men's attitude. But I see also there's some attributes, some must-have attributes that these mighty men obtained. Verse 14 and 15. The Bible says, and David was then in a hold, and the garrison of Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David longed and said, oh, that one would give me a drink of water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate. David longs. David has a craving. He has a desire. He has a great want, a wish for some water from a well in Bethlehem beside a gate. David's held up. He's hiding. He's taken refuge in this cave, the Bible says, of Adullam. I don't know if there was drought in the land. I don't know if David didn't have access to water. I don't know if there was there was water in the cave. Maybe it was stagnated. Maybe it was stale, muddy water. But for whatever reason, David longed for some water from a well in Bethlehem. But I see in this text, there's nowhere that David asks, nowhere David orders, commands, or requires his mighty men to fetch this water. He told them that it was good. Maybe he was sitting around. Maybe they were camped out there by the fire. And David began to recollect this cool, this clean, this refreshing water from a well in Bethlehem from his childhood days. I notice there's some must-have attributes to be a mighty man. Verse 15, it says, David longed and said, "Oh, that one would give me drink of the water of the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Here it is. "And the three mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out water of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate." David never asked, commanded, or ordered. All he did was long. All he did have is desire. In the next verse, it says three of these mighty men breaks through the Philistine army, goes to that great host, and draws out water from this well. All these mighty men were doing, without hesitation, without delay, in this cave, they got up, they broke through the Philistine army, they fetched the water just to be a blessing to the man of God. And in serving the man of God, we'll find in just a minute, they were honoring and serving Jesus Christ. Why were these mighty men so mighty? They had some attributes. They had an attribute of service. I see they served God. They honored the Lord, even when their service looked problematic. We find these men, they knew that there were going to be a host of the army of the enemies of God there in Bethlehem. Yet that didn't bother them. They didn't debate on it. They didn't talk about it. This whole company, just these three men, out of their desire, out of this great need of David's longing, they were going to go fight. They were going to go battle to get the man of God some water. It was going to be difficult. It was going to be hard. It was going to be a tough road. But if it was easy, everyone would be a mighty man. I see, although this service may be problematic, these mighty men were always fighting the good fight of faith. The service was problematic, yet they still served. And let me say, in this service, we don't see any self-centered pride. If you read the text, it just says, "And the three mighty men break." It doesn't mention their names. We don't know who they are. It doesn't tell us about them. It doesn't tell us who they are. They were not doing this for attention. They were not doing this for recognition or reward. But they were not doing it to boast or to brag. But they were doing it just for God's honor. Let me say this morning in our service, God's keeping record. God's keeping score. He knows our deeds. He knows our actions. He knows the intents of our heart. There was no self-centered pride in these mighty men. This service was problematic. They were still going to serve. There was no self-centered pride. They did it for God and David. We find, though, all because of this, in closing, their Savior was praised. Verse 16, Bible says, "The mighty men break through the host of the Philistines and drew out water of the well of Bethlehem was by the gate and took it and brought it to David. And there it is. Nevertheless, he would not drink thereof, but poured it out unto the Lord. And said, Be it far from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is not this the blood of the men that went in jeopardy of their lives? Therefore, he would not drink it. These things did these three mighty men." David longs for some water from a well in Bethlehem. Out of service to the man of God, their leader serving God, they break through this great host of Philistines. They draw out the well, bring it to David. And yet David takes it and pours it out into the Lord. Let me say this morning, many times the man of God may be misunderstood. It may look like his motives or his intent is wrong. But let me say, if he's right with God, He's doing it for God's glory. Can you imagine? They risk life. They risk limb. Fought through this host to break through just to get David some water. They bring it to David, and he doesn't even drink it. He takes it and makes a drink offering to his Savior. You know, this morning, as we try to honor our pastor, we're not doing it to be noticed by others. But as we read, we see that in honoring him, we're really honoring Jesus Christ. I wonder this morning, that's my thought, what is it you're longing for? David longed for some water. These mighty men, they longed to go fetch this water for their leader. What is it you're longing for? Maybe this morning you long to be a mighty man. Maybe this morning you want to have a service, have the fortitude to fight as these great men of God. Maybe this morning you're longing to honor your pastor, to be more faithful to the man of God, to help and be a blessing to him. What is it you're longing for? Let's all stand this morning. Got a song? You got a song to sing? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we want to thank you this morning for all that you've done in our lives. Thank you, Father, for our pastor, for his service, for Miss Sandra. Father, we thank you for their life, for their humbleness. Father, for their gift to this church. Lord, as we read this morning, as these mighty men served the man of God, I pray that you'd birth in our heart the desire to serve the church, to serve the pastor, and in doing so, honoring you. God, help us be a blessing to others. Help us be a blessing, Father, to the man of God. But most of all, Father, we want to thank you. Thank you, Father, for what you've done on Calvary, for the victory that you brought forth, for the blessings you've put in our lives. And God, I pray this morning as you speak to the hearts of your people, Lord, you'd stir us to serve you like we've never served before. Even though this service sometimes may seem problematic, I pray, Father, that you'd give us the fight as these mighty men to serve the man of God. We bless you, Lord. I pray you'd speak to the hearts and meet the needs of your people this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Whatever your need is this morning, this altar's open.